Man, the thing about the farm is that while you're there, they said I could do impromptu Bible study, so I started doing a Bible study. And the next week I had not one, but two. And the next week four. And the next week six and seven. And then I had to be gone for a couple weeks and came back. And they were still there. I thought they were going to be gone, but they're still there and we're still going. And it's really a neat thing. And then last week my truck wouldn't start. So I finally got it started. I got the truck started and went down there. I was late, and there was only three guys there instead of the normal group that was there, and that was okay. But, you know, you get a lot of obstacles in a ministry like this ministry. You get obstacle after obstacle. There's things that will prevent you from doing what you want to do. And guess what? That's what jail ministry is all about. You can't do what you want to do. That's what they're there for in the jail, yes or no. And so God is always teaching us to take another step. He gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or however, you sang it with a little different beat than I do, but that's okay. We won't go there. Today I'd like to demonstrate the current philosophy of Light and Liberty. At a recent presentation of Set Free Ministries, the following statistics were given. There are 7,300,000 people on probation in the United States. That means there's 7 million people in the United States that have been through the jail process, and now they're out. You rub shoulders with them every day. You're talking to them all constantly, yes or no. Wherever you go, you're talking to people that have been in jail. Is that a problem? For some of us, oh no, there's jail people around me. I don't want to go to jail because jail was... I couldn't go as a volunteer to jail and talk to people because, I just could never do it. Couldn't do it. You're already doing it. Your light is shining wherever you are, yes or no, and you're already talking to them in the grocery store. And they're just normal people just like you. They're just people that have gotten stuck. And now they're unstuck. Now they're on probation. 7 million. Did you know that eventually we will incarcerate so many people that this whole thing's going to flip-flop, the Bible says. And there's going to be a man of sin, a man of lawlessness, and he's going to take over for 3.5 years. Bam! And he's going to rule the world. Not just the United States, the world. Incarceration is going to take over. And are you ready for that? How are we going to live in a time like that? Oh, we're going to be gone first, yes? Well, yeah, that's my hope. I'm going to be gone way before all that happens. But you know what? God took the Israelites through the fire, yes or no? They didn't have the plagues in Goshen. But when it came to the final plague, they put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed over, yes or no? Passover. What an incredible picture. There are 2,300,000 incarcerated in federal and state prisons and jails. Did you know that there's federal jails? Estancia is a federal jail. Used to be a state prison. Used to be a combination. It's privately run. And Estancia is also known as Torrance County Detention Facility. And it's I go there once a week. Used to go there twice a week, but I got another volunteer going instead, so I can go on with other things then. But we've got a class that meets every day now, and different teachers teaching every day in there. And it's used to be called the God's Pod, but now it's not. We have people from different pods, including county guys and state prisoners, coming in to the chapel. I guess they're state. Yeah. No, they're not state. They're not state people. They're not state prisoners. They're people awaiting trial, but they're state people awaiting, I don't know. Let me not get down that road too far. 2,300,000 incarcerated in state and federal prisons and jails. There's currently 3,200 prisoners on death row. There's 8 times as many men as women that are incarcerated. That works out just perfectly out here in MDC because there's like 2,700 people out there at any given day. 50,000 people a year cycle through that place. And on any given time, there's like 3 pods that are devoted to women. And that's 3 times 8 is, what's 3 times 80? 240? 240 women compared to 2,700. That's about 8 times as many, isn't it? It's pretty close. 687,700 state prisoners are serving time for violent offenses. You like these statistics? I don't know. The average prison sentence for violent offenders is 90 months. That's all they get, 90 months. That's the average. That's the average time that somebody goes away for a violent offense, and then they come back, and they're back in society after 90 months. How much is 90 months? 7 years? Not very long. They're right back in society again. And then we arrest them again because it says here 67% of released prisoners are rearrested within 3 years. Cycle, 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 over and over. And they go through the same cycle over and over. You'd think they'd learn, don't you? You think God's people in the Old Testament would have learned, don't you? And yet over and over they said no to God. They were still going to church. They were still doing all the churchy things. But they never did what God wanted them to do. They were doing all the sacrifices. But they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. They got stuck in doing church instead of doing God's work. You know what I'm saying? And the crazy thing is, as they got stuck in that, God says eventually it was sort of like what happens in jail today. They say yes 1 minute to God and no the next minute. Yes, if I already told you this, no, yes, no. And pretty soon they're going to both extremes and we call them bipolar. Ever heard of bipolar before? They all love that label because I'm bipolar. It's not my fault. I'm just bipolar. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, yes or no? And when you start being bipolar, you're going to end up bipolar, yes or no? Sorry. I don't know why we got off on that. The recidivism rate is highest among drug and property offenders. Well, our mission is to go in there and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Because we're only going to see these guys. I told Sunday school class, we're only going to see these guys maybe 12 times. We go in once a week to any particular jail and any volunteer. That's about what we can get in. I, as a chaplain, I was able to get in more than that. But in going to the whole facility, I still could only go once a week to any particular place. Because there's too many people there. But what I'm trying to say is this. We get to see a person 12 times. And in 12 times, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, we're going to change their life. Yes, God's Word changes their life. And the way we do it is with a calendar. I pass these out in Sunday school. But we do a calendar and we take it in there and get them reading God's Word. Because God's Word is powerful and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. Yes or no? Dividing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes or no? It'll cut right through all the whatever I was going to say. It'll cut through everything. Yes or no? And God's Word wants to do that for us. He just wants to lift us and take us somewhere. Lake Liberty's not a church. We're people from all different churches across New Mexico. And we've stretched out beyond that. There's a guy that was in our ministry that's over in Oklahoma, for example. I'll just use him as an example. But he left our ministry and he's now working with Kairos over there and he's going into the local county jail over there. And so he learned jail ministry here and now he's going over there and helping them learn it the way he knows it, which is maybe a good thing or not. I don't know. I think it is. Well, what do we do? How do we get, what do we do to work with? We generally work with the people in our local jails. Jails, detention while a person's awaiting sentencing. After their sentencing, then they go down to Las Lunas. Not to the level one facility. There's a bunch of facilities down there. I don't know if there's a complex of facilities down in Central or down in Las Lunas. But they go down there and then they're classified and they go out all over the prison system wherever they're going to be put for the next 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, life. I walked out of Guadalupe County maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and the chaplain there took us outside to show us the marker that's right outside. Did I tell you this story already? Took us outside to, I forget what I've told you already, but we took us outside to the marker, the memorial marker, outside of that prison. The reason I was there is because there's a little jail inside that prison. I didn't even know it. How do you know? How would you know there's a jail inside a prison? But there is, and I go to the county jail now once a month inside that prison, but I also go to some of the other prisoners just to make it worth the time to go over there. It's like it's not worth the time to go over there anyway. I went over to that marker. The chaplain takes us outside, and he says, this is a memorial for the for the officer that was killed at this facility. It was a rancher. He's just a rancher. He took a job to make some extra money so he could keep going with his ranching. And he's got a second job as a correctional officer. And they killed him. They loved him. But there was another guy they didn't like. They didn't like him at all. The inmates didn't like him. And they decided they're going to do away with him. So they, all ready to kill this other guy, and he didn't show up for work that night, but the bloodlust was in their heart, and they had to kill somebody. And this other guy, the rancher, stood in for the other guy, and he's the one that got killed. Can you imagine? You can get so stuck going no, saying no, God, no, God, no, God, but you get stuck in no here, yes or no. And there's no way to go except to go away from God. And they get stuck. And we come into that environment, and our job is to show them yes again. To show them how to open their heart. To just to say yes to what Jesus has done for them on the cross. Because He gave His life for us. He died in my place for my sin. I was going to tell you about all these things that I got out on our website. I was talking this morning about a house. I've got a booklet out there called, it's a 90-page booklet called The Structure of the House. And if you want to know more about that house we were talking about in Sunday school, it's out there on our website. I've got another booklet out there called Steps of Straight Street, which tells about faith, hope, and love, and very detailed how to lead a person into walking in faith, hope, and love. You want to know about that? It's really simple, very, very simple, and it's out there on our website. Print it out and use it. And I got another one out there called Structure of the House, The Load-Bearing Walls, Love, Joy, and Peace, that we started talking a little bit about this morning. Beautiful, amazing thing that God's doing there. And what I was going to tell you, though, is the labels aren't the key, these books. The labels aren't the key. Understanding isn't the goal. Trying won't produce the life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the cross of the Savior is the key. Knowing the Savior is the goal. Raised up to walk in Christ is the life. And when you see him, it's so amazing to me. Lead a person to the Lord, and you come back later, and you see him filled with joy, and you see the things that are happening. And then all of a sudden, they're in the middle of the battle. And all of a sudden, the Lord has taken away everything that they thought they were dependent on, and now they're left to depend on Him, and He doesn't seem like He's even there anymore. And what are they going to do? Well, they learn to take the next step, yes or no. The next step of faith. And they learn to say yes, and they learn to keep saying yes, and they learn to say yes even when it hurts. We call it faith, we call it hope, we call it love. But the greatest of these is love. And it's not about how much we understand. It's not about how much we know. It's not about how hard we try. It's all about Him. It's His kingdom come, His will be done in our life. And the cross of the Savior is how we get them there. The Bible is how we get them going. We get them reading God's Word. Knowing the Savior is the goal, raised up to walk in Christ is the life. So I've got that little house that I gave you this morning. Yeah, that one right there. If you want to print one of those out, it's out on our website. Just go out there and print it out in color and do it in landscape. That's portrait and it's really small. But you can do it in landscape and it's bigger. And you can actually, there's directions out there for how to put it together. And you just go ahead and put it together, and you'll have a copy of that house if you want it. I forgot to give these out earlier in Sunday school class. We went through and did the structure of the house, but I'll put these up here if anybody wants them later. So where am I going with all this? I wanted to show you this morning a little of the philosophy of where we are. How do you bring a person to faith in Christ and then help them progress to full devotion to Christ? When you only got a few weeks that you're going to see them. How in the world are you going to do that? It's like we're working with people. It's like building a sandcastle beside the seashore. And you get that sandcastle and you get it built up and here comes another wave. Yes or no? Washes it down and you start over again. And jail ministry is one of the most, can be one of the most frustrating things you could ever do. On the other hand, it's one of the most rewarding things you can ever do. You see these guys for a few times, and then they're gone. Just lately, God's been taking me to see the results of what's going on. I went down to Hobbs, to the correctional facility, the prison down there. They invited me to come down, and I spent a day down there several days actually. I went into their God's pod, saw, man, I had them raise their hand if anybody knew me there in the whole jail that came to the chapel service. Big old room, lots of people there. I can't tell you how many people knew me there. That was amazing. Because they've all cycled through, a lot of them have cycled through MDC over here and then gone on down. And you know, most of us don't get a chance to see the results of what we're doing through life, yes or no. We don't really get to see the results of what's going on. But you impact people's life every day. You've got people that are jailed all around you every day, that are incarcerated in themselves, stuck in themselves, and they don't know how to get out. And all they need is the life-changing message of God, of what Jesus has done for us. He gave his life for us. And it takes nothing to open our mouth and just tell them yes or no. Our world needs to know him. And we're so stuck trying to understand today. Whoo! The president's trying to get the Congress to understand what he knows. The Congress trying to get the president to understand what he knows. The judicial system too busy to interpret the law because they want to get the president and the Congress going the right way. And we're all trying to understand. You know, when I went to graduate school, the goal of graduate school, this was over here at UNM when I was taking a class in communication. Never learned anything, but you can tell that. The goal of education, they told me, was understanding. It's not doing, it's understanding. And then we wonder why our society gets trapped in an understanding vortex that takes us right down the tubes, yes or no? Because everybody's trying to help everybody else understand what they know. And we all know. Every man's right in his own eyes, the Bible says. You go to any jail and you'll find out who thinks they're guilty. There's not one single blessed person guilty in the jail. Nobody's guilty. We're all right in our own eyes. Everyone can. We can all justify what we've done. And yet the Bible says there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together we become useless. There's none that does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of peace they haven't known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's not just in the jail. That's in our society today, yes or no? We're stuck. We're stuck so much on ourselves understanding. Not that I don't need to understand. I just got to get you to understand. How am I going to get you to understand the gentleness? I don't know how to get you to understand. You don't need to understand. Just come do it. You'll find out what it is. It's amazing. Your life will change. You'll go in a whole different direction. Your life will become something a full good. You say, I can't do that. Well, then pray for us. Help us somehow because we need help. We're really stuck. All the time we're stuck, but guess what? God sticks us. He gets us stuck so that we can help people that are stuck, so we know how to comfort them with the same comfort with which we've been comforted by God, 2 Corinthians 1. Yes or no? And God is constantly taking us and shaping us and growing us to the next level. How do you take an inmate from incarceration to freedom in Christ? Out of death into life. So that life has purpose again. So that life has meaning. Well, I talked in Sunday school about knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Knowing, seeing, and doing. I talked about faith, hope, and love, which are the same thing. I talked about how Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And those are the same thing. You know the way, you see the truth, you do the life. Yes or no? But we don't do that apart from him. We do it in Christ. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Paul said, I died, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. And the amazing thing is, sometimes we think we're doing this Christian life all on our own, and we get out there on a limb, and we fall right off. Did you hear about the guy? Maybe I shouldn't stop and tell this story, because how much time we got? 10 minutes? 8 minutes? 15 minutes? 15. I got to tell you the story. Guy that got a job. Did you hear this story? There was a guy that got a job. He saw the ad in the newspaper, and the newspaper ad said that they were looking for a guy to work in the zoo. So he went down to the zoo to get the job. And they said, the zookeeper said, we need somebody to go into our lion has died. No, it wasn't the lion, it was the ape. Our ape has died, and our ape, what we need to do, we've tanned the hide, we've got the hide all emptied out, so you can put this costume on, and you can actually be the ape. You go into the cage, the guy says, I can do this, no big deal, I can do this. And he'd go into the cage every day. They were saying, man, this guy acts almost human. And there he's in there and really going to town with the ape costume, and one day it rains. Before it rained, he tried to climb the tree that was in there, and he got it way out on the limb. This day that it rained, he got out too far on that limb, and the branch was wet, and he'd climbed up there millions of times already, or a lot of times already, but now he's out there on a limb, and he falls off of that limb right into the lion's cage. And he starts screaming, help, help, help. And the lion says, shut up, you fool. You want us both to lose our jobs? Sometimes we think we understand what's going on around us. Sometimes we think we know where we're going and what we're doing, and we think we're getting there. And you know what? I'm just so convinced that I don't know anything yet. But I don't need to know. I just need to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I just need to keep walking with him. Just step by step, keep moving forward. And everything I need is already provided in him. I wanted to show you Straight Street for just a few minutes here. We got a few minutes. Can somebody help me looking up some verses? Would that be all right? I want to give you an overview of Straight Street. Could somebody take 1 Thessalonians 1:3? 1 Thessalonians, somebody just raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Somebody could take 1 Corinthians 13:13? 1 Corinthians 13:13, okay. Somebody could take 1 Thessalonians 5:8. 1 Thessalonians, okay, you can do it. I'll give you three more, and then we'll stop, and then we'll take some more in a minute. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2? Okay. Colossians 2:6-7. Okay. And Deuteronomy 33:3. Anybody? Okay. He'll do it right there. Let's do those six. And let's see. First of all, what this is an overview of Straight Street. I want to show you Straight Street. Straight Street is the path we try to get our inmates walking. If we can get them going down a straight path, that's what we want to do. Because God's got a straight path for each one of us, yes or no? Your straight street's not the same as my straight street, but it all leads straight into his presence. It's where we are today, into his presence. And it's a straight street. It's a straight path. Take us right into his presence. We may veer off course, but his path is a straight path. And so we get him on straight street, walking straight street, okay? And I say yes and get on this path with him because Jesus has already died for me. I keep saying yes, every step and step of faith. I keep saying yes, and I walk with him right into his presence. I say yes, I keep saying yes, hope. I say yes even when it hurts, love. So let's read these verses, and I think I can show you Straight Street here. 1 Thessalonians 1:3.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father.
Did you see the three things there? What did he say again there? My translation said work of faith,
labor of love.
Patience of hope, or this one says steadfastness of hope, same thing. And what we got is three steps, faith, hope, and love, yes or no? And it's something, he says, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13.
And now by the faith, hope, love, these three, by the grace of these, is love.
Thank you, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:8.
But since we are of the day, let us be sober.
The same three things? Do you know how many verses there are in the Bible where you can see those same three things in one verse? Over and over and over again. It's amazing how many times that those three things are, it's almost like that's a sort of on God's heart or something. For us to trust him, to keep trusting him, and to trust him even when it hurts. Yes or no? Because he's already done the work. We're just entering into his finished work. And we take another step, and we take another step. And it's so simple. The Christian life is so simple for these guys, but they don't get it. Some do. And the ones that do teach the ones around them that do.
And they do Bible study constantly, day by day by day. I've seen it happen over and over. They got Bible studies going. You can't even believe. They don't even need me anymore. I can move on to next year. And it's beautiful. I love it. But, you know, the amazing thing is we've got volunteers going to the jail. You get started in the jail, you won't stop. It's beautiful. It's amazing. What's the next one? It was Straight Street in Practice. What that was just an overview of Straight Street, and you saw those three things in three different verses, okay? What I want to show you now is Straight Street in Practice in three different verses, what it looks like when you're doing Straight Street. 1 Peter 1:2.
Unto obedience, sprinkling of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied.
So what were the three things? Anybody catch it? My translation says the foreknowledge of the Father, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, obeying Jesus Christ and being sprinkled with his blood. Three things: knowing, seeing, and doing. Foreknowledge of God. Sanctifying work of the Spirit is what the Spirit sees and does in your life, and to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 7.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
So you walk in him, Straight Street. Rooted in the faith, you know the truth. That's a perfect plan. That's hope. As we keep saying yes, we build hope in him. He's the one that does the whole work. There's nothing from me. It's a gift. I'm constantly taking the free gift. I take the gift. I keep taking the gift. I take the gift even when it hurts. I keep saying yes. Just, you know, this isn't something I do. It's not a work that I'm doing. It's what he's doing through me. Is I just trust him. I trust him. I can't do this anymore. But I trust you. I look at my eyes on Jesus, the author of my faith, and I take another step. I don't know where you are today. If you're in the middle of a storm, look up. Your redemption's coming near, drawing nigh. Yes or no? When I was a kid, all we had to learn was the King James. So that's what I had. Is this a King James only church? Oh, thank you. I forgot to ask, and sometimes because I wrote a song about, did I ever tell you the song I wrote? Oh, to King James, oh, to King James, oh, to King James, it is the Bible for me. Oh, to King James, oh, to King James, oh, to King James, it is the Bible for me. Oh, it nurtured me in my childhood, and it teaches me that I should be good. Oh, to King James, oh, to King James, oh, to King James, it is the Bible for me. Though the words are archaic and I can't understand it, I just ask my pastor and he can explain it. Oh, to King James, oh, to King James. And it's got like 18 verses I wrote out there, but I don't know where they all are. But you know, the amazing thing is, I don't care which translation you're using. I don't care which Bible you're using. Here's what I care about. Just say yes. We call it faith. Trust him. Take the gift. Keep taking the gift, because he is enough. The riches of his grace that we sang about this morning, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. But you might have gotten to the end of where you can actually even receive. You've gotten to the point where you're stuck and you, how am I going to take another step? Look up, because your redemption's drawing nigh. When you get jailed in a situation, look up. He's everything you need. And I got guys all over the jail that have gotten stuck where they are, and they can't get free. They're stuck. How am I going to help them? I'm only going to see them 12 times average. I'm going to take them to the cross, and I'm going to get them reading God's word, and they are going to change. And it's just beautiful to be able to go back sometimes, not always, sometimes, and see the result of what God's doing. It's just like, wow, look at this. Is just like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon. This is just like any other metaphor you've ever seen or ever in any other picture. It's beautiful what God's doing. He's taking lives that are dead in sin and transforming them into a living, active people. Where are they? Most of the people I'm talking to are never going to get out of jail. Never going to get out of prison. They're going off for long periods of time. I love going to the places where they're not going to get out. And I don't see the results of my work very often. But just once in a while, God just peels the layers back and, whoa, thank you, Lord. That is so amazing what you're doing out there. Look at this guy. He was stuck. He didn't know how to go forward. And now he's alive. He was dead. Did we do? As you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in Him, firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him. It's like I know what to do. I'm seeing how to do it, rooted, and now I'm doing it, built up in Him. It's amazing. Deuteronomy 33:3. Perfect. And the way my translation says it, all your holy ones are in your hand. They followed your steps. They received your words. So if you take the second thing, they followed in your steps. That's straight street. They receive of your words. That's perfect plan. All your holy ones are in your hand. That's bubbling spring. The way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we're teaching. I don't care which Bible you go into. I don't care what verse you're in. We get into any passage in the Bible, and we're going to lead him from where we are to where he is, because he's on every page of the Bible. God's placed himself right in the center of history. You can't tear him out of the structure of what he's built. he's wrapped himself right into the center of our world, right into the warp and woof of the fabric of our lives. And there's nothing you're going to do to take him out. You're going to have people say, oh, there's no God. You're going to have people say this or that. But you know what? God so designed it, you can't ignore him. He's right there in the middle of your life. I love the verse over in, I don't normally like this translation so much, but there's a translation out there. It's not really a translation. It's one of those dynamic equivalence things that's way off the track. But I like it anyway. In this case, it's called The Message. Anybody hear The Message before? And I like that because you can understand what we say. And in Romans, I think it's Romans 9, he says, don't worry, I'm going to be a cornerstone in your life, and sometimes I'm going to be a rock right in the middle of where you are, and you're not going to be able to go around me. You're not going to be able to get by me, but it's me you're trying to get around, not the obstacle you're facing. It's me that you're going to try to get around, and I'm not in the way. I'm on the way. And sometimes we get stuck with the obstacle, yes or no, but the obstacle's by him. Oh, Satan's doing this to me. Satan's doing that to me. Satan's not doing it to us. God's doing it to us. He's shaping us for heaven, yes or no? Trust him. If you're facing an obstacle today that you can't get through and can't get around, I bet you God's got something he's doing in your life right there at that very point, yes or no? Look up and ask him what the next step is. Trust in the Lord with half your heart. Did I do that before? Trust in the Lord with a quarter of your heart. And lean a lot on your own understanding. In most of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths, right? No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Not just a few of your ways. In all your ways. Man, it's amazing what God wants to do in our lives. I got 1 minute to close this out. I was going to take you so much farther. This whole presentation I was going to give you is out on the our website. I put it out there for you. It's called the Faith Bible Church. You go out to our website, which is on the calendar here. Grab one of the calendars afterwards, and it's got the website address right there. You go out there and look for Faith Bible Church under Resources for You. And it's got all the stuff I've talked about today, including these and everything else. But it's not about the labels. It's not about my understanding of what's going on. It's not about how hard we try. You can't try hard enough to do what God wants. Give it up. Quit trying. Trust him and walk with him. Yes or no? Let's pray.